Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week, in our study of 2 Timothy chapter 3, we were talking about those that say they are depending on the church for their spiritual growth, and yet will only go to one or two services a week. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
My friend, the local church is a supplement, but it does not take the place of the responsibility that God has given to parents in the home. And people say they're depending on the local church, and yet they miss two or three services each week at church. I say two or three services. Most churches for years had Sunday school, one, Sunday morning worship, two, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night. As a matter of fact, when I was a kid, we even had a thing that was like a Sunday school. They called it training union. And so we actually had five services a week. Well, training union got dropped. Nobody even thinks of that anymore. And now churches are starting to drop Sunday school. Then they drop Sunday night. And you know what? If you get in the Word of God, you get in the Bible, and you meditate on it, and you obey it, and you allow God to fill you with it, there's not enough days and nights in the week to have church. You need the preaching, you need the teaching, and you just want to learn so much more. There's so much about God to know. And it'd be much better than anything you see. Now people, even the one service they do go to church, are taking their cell phones, their iPads, and whatever. And they're keeping up with the ball games, or doing their emails and whatever else. Whether they realize it or not, they will give an account for that. Now, I see nothing wrong with having an iPad that has a Bible on, a cell phone that has a Bible on. I have the Bible on my cell phone. My wife has an iPad. When I go to church, I carry a Bible. My cell phone has a King James Bible on it. However, it only contains the Word of God, but my Bible is the Word of God. And so that's what I use. And I hope that you'd see that. I remember when I was in high school, evangelists, youth directors, and so forth would challenge us to carry our Bibles on our books to school. You know, that took a stand. Now today, what are you saying? Carry your iPad to school? Well, they already do anyway, but you try to hide the fact that you're a Christian. And my friend, I don't think that we should teach our children to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I don't think we ought to show that we're ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Well, it's show that more things are important than technology. Well, it's show that Jesus Christ is the most important thing to me. Now, again, I'm not against technology. You're listening to me because of technology. I am so thankful for the internet. I'm so thankful for the ability to broadcast. I am thankful for it. But my friend, even the best technology does not take the place of the power and the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And so we think we're going to win people with technology. No, it's still the gospel speaking in the power of Christ. Well, even many of the churches, as we've mentioned, have abandoned sound doctrine for a feel-good, do-good, psychological, and philosophical religion that will not offend the dens of iniquity. I don't know about you, but I, again, having lived long enough now, I can remember when I would go to church, people would say, I don't feel like I've been to church. The preacher didn't step on my toes. Now they say, I don't feel like I've been to church if I don't go out feeling good about myself. Well, that just tells you that the psychologists, the so-called religious, I can't call them Christian psychologists because that philosophy is not Christian, but self-esteem is something that's born in hell, not in Christ. And so in Christ, we find that if we humble ourselves before the Lord, he'll exalt you in due season, but let him exalt. We're trying to exalt people without good reason. We need to humble ourselves. And so, again, we need to quit letting the world and psychology and everything else try to run our churches, and let's let the Word of God, once again, be that which is the basis and sole authority for all that is takes place within the local church and its ministry to the world. Now, that's a mouthful, but with that in mind, we want to continue with more signs of conditions within the local church before the rapture in the last moments of the church age. Now, as we look back at verse 2, we had read earlier, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Well, last time we got through blasphemers, and that's where we cut off. And now as we take up again, we look at this first thing here, disobedient to parents. And it does seem like a logical progression. One seems to lead to the other. Now, the impact of this statement of disobedient to parents is seen in the fifth commandment. "Honor thy mother and thy father, that thy days may be long upon the earth." Ephesians 6:2 tells children to obey their parents. And again, it says, "Honor thy father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise. And so when we begin to see God saying, obey, And there are people in your public institutions, on your television, all that, with, you know, dad is an idiot and mom's all consumed with their own life. And so, really, you don't have to take that off. They tell you to carry out the garbage, you tell them to carry it out. And if they at all just touch you, you turn them into the police. That is a filthy, rotten, low-down scum of the earth philosophy. And that was born out of hell. And yes, I'm against a parent taking a fist and just beating their children half to death. And the Bible is against that. But the Bible does tell us to use the rod. Now, it's unfortunate that today there are teaching ministries that attack Noah, Abraham, David, and most of the men in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and say, oh, they were such terrible fathers. And you see, they're kind of like those history writers in the secular world that has rewritten American history. Now, can you imagine them rewriting American history and running down America and saying how wrong we were to do everything and how bad our Constitution is and all this other stuff, and then to call themselves conservative? You'd get mad if they called themselves conservative. They're not conservative. That's what a liberal does. Well, you know, I kind of get upset when these guys call themselves fundamental and conservative and they start running down all these characters that God has put in Hebrews chapter 11 as, you might say, heroes of the faith. Now, it's true that these men made mistakes, and the Bible's clear that there was only one perfect father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then even Luke says that that Adam was the son of God because there was no physical father for Adam, so he called him the son of God. So do we blame God that Adam sinned? Is it God's fault and Adam's not at fault at all? You see, it's so pathetic. And the things that are taught by these groups falls in line with the modern Freudian philosophy that anything I do is someone else's fault. That is humanism that seeks to destroy. When we begin to blame others for our faults, that's humanistic. And my friend, when we see people with those kind of philosophies, just understand, it's not scriptural. They'll sound very religious, but they're not scriptural. Think of the prodigal son. Jesus tells that story, and he doesn't indicate in the passage that it was the father's fault. Do the commandments have a command for parent-specific things as we do for children? I mean, do we give an account of ourselves in regard to this commandment before God? children obey your parents? Or if the child doesn't, is that just the parent's fault? Now, I think it is the parent's fault when they don't spank, they don't correct their children. But again, this is a command for children. Children, obey your parents. So God expects them to obey. If we blame the great men of God for the failures of their children, do we have any area which there is not to be in the heart of these children the capacity to be responsible? And by the way, do we teach these children to forgive their parents? Well, you know, isn't it interesting that one so-called Christian psychologist, and again, this is filthy, but a lady called in and said how her daddy had molested her. And he asked, have you forgiven your daddy? And she said she had. And then he says, have you forgiven God for allowing it? As if man has no personal responsibility, no free will, that he couldn't help himself, that he just did that because God allowed it and God willed it. Again, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ as a Christian or the white throne judgment of God as an unsaved person, the blame game won't work. It might work with people today. It might work with people who are ignorant and unlearned in the Word of God and people who are ignorant of spiritual things, regardless of their degree they have behind their name in education and academics. If personal accountability is lost, then, my friend, society is lost. The home is lost. It's time to start taking responsibility, and it's time to teach our children to take responsibility. And every time they get in trouble at school, every time an adult gets on to them for cutting up or acting up in church, it's not the mother's part to go up and tell off the teacher, to tell off the principal, to tell off whoever is in charge because they got onto their child for misbehaving. It's time to go up and thank them and let them know that what they get at home is going to be much worse than what they were able to do to them at whatever place they were. Now, people like to blame the parents. Some time ago, I had some parents in my office, and they found out that their child was homosexual. And you know how some good old Christians are, and they make them feel like it was their fault. They didn't raise them right. And so I asked them, I said, now, how did you teach your child to be a homosexual? Did you have tapes that showed how to pick the others up and how to have homosexual activity and so forth? And you tell them how wonderful it was? And, well, boy, I tell you what, in a hurry, they said, well, no. And, well, did they know that you're against homosexual? Oh, yeah, they know it. Then they didn't get that from you. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.